This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'd like to welcome you, dear viewers, to another in our series, The Best in Islam, where we're looking at what Allah and His Messenger have said with regards to what's best for us in the deeds that we do, the things that we say, the thoughts that we hold, the events that we're engaged in life. What are the best from a perspective of Islam? And in this episode, we are continuing to look at the best of deeds, things which are related to deeds, which Allah and His Messenger have said are best. And the text which we'll be looking at in this segment first is that which was narrated by Ma'iz, in which he quoted Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as saying, "Afdalu al-a'mali al-imanu billah wahda, thumma al-jihad, thumma hajjatun birratun tafdulu sa'ir al-a'mal kama bayna matla'i ash-shamsi ila maghribiha." The best deeds are faith in Allah alone, then jihad, then hajj, accepted by God, the superiority of which is like what is between the rising and setting of the sun in relation to the rest of deeds. So, in terms of best of deeds, is faith in Allah alone. Normally we think of faith not as a deed. This is what we have in our heart. This is a thought, a belief. But from the Islamic perspective, faith is an action. It is a deed. It is a deed of the heart. But that deed of the heart is also connected to the tongue. It is expressed by the tongue. And the tongue and the heart are connected to the rest of the body. So that deed of the heart should also be manifest in the actions of the limbs. So all of that is what constitutes faith in Islam. So faith in Allah is not just what resides in the heart, but what is expressed on the tongue and what comes out as deeds and actions from the limbs. And all of this should be done with firm commitment to Allah alone, that He alone deserves our worship, and our worship is manifest in our hearts, manifest on our tongues, and manifest on our limbs. The best of all of that is the deed of faith in Allah. Then jihad. This is an expression beyond the self, where one offers one's most precious and most beloved element, which is the self itself. We are offering ourself, putting our lives on the line for the sake of Allah, in defense of the ummah. Not what people may classify as jihad today, where they're engaged in acts of terrorism, blowing up buildings, supermarkets, malls, massacring students, you know, all kinds of things going on in the world today, which may be called jihad, or in the newspaper they say this was done by jihadists, etc., etc., but really it has nothing to do with Islam. It is terrorism. It is displeasing to Allah. It is evil. The true jihad is striving in the way of Allah, striving to do what Allah has commanded, not to do what is displeasing to Allah, what Allah has prohibited, what His Messenger has spoken against. Unfortunately, today there are many in different parts of the world using the name of jihad and in fact committing atrocities for which Islam has no part. In relationship to the rest of deeds, Hajj, accepted by Allah, is superior to the rest of deeds, like what is between the rising and the setting of the sun in the relationship to the rest of the world. Hajj, which is accepted, you know, this is the condition. Hajjun mabrur, that's how it's usually referred. Hajj mabrur, this accepted Hajj, is one in which the conditions which have been set for Hajj have been fulfilled. It's not merely one in which the deeds of Hajj were done, because many people will do the deeds of Hajj, but it's not accepted by God, because they're doing it for the wrong intentions. They're not doing it properly. They didn't care to know. They're doing what they call, you know, five-star Hajjis, where they just fly in at the last minute. They only spend a couple of days and they're out again. You know, not real Hajj. They don't experience Hajj. So it is a true Hajj in which, as Allah said, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. There's no corruption in what we say and do, no evil acts, harm done to others. The Hajj is a clean Hajj, one in which every person who seeks to gain that benefit has to be patient. Patience is perhaps the greatest characteristic which can carry one after faith, which can carry one through Hajj to achieve that Hajj mabrur, the Hajj which is accepted by God. Because in Hajj you come in contact with so many different people under so many different circumstances. People will step on your toes. They will elbow you. They will push you. Not necessarily intentionally. Sometimes it might be intentionally. But how do we respond? Do we scream? Do we shout? Do we hit back? This is the point. Once we do that, we have lost the divinely accepted Hajj. It's not to say that we don't have any reward for Hajj. Yes, there's still reward, there's still benefit. Whatever we have done of it, which was sincere, then we are rewarded, but we lose out on getting that accepted Hajj, the one about which the Prophet ﷺ said, it would erase our sins. So we would return home from Hajj, pure from sin, clean from sin, like the day we were born. That Hajj, that is the Hajj. That is the one that we should strive for. We're going to be taking a break at this point after our reflection on the Hajj, as well as jihad, what jihad really is, and Iman Billah, true faith in Allah. And we'll be continuing to look at further deeds which the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, told us are mighty good deeds, the best of deeds. We'll see you after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Money, money, money. Our ears perk up at the mention of money. Bank accounts growing. Investments increasing. But wait, where are you getting all this money from? Are your sources halal? Are your dealings halal? Are you aware of the legislations of transactions? Seem to be lost. Don't worry, we have just the right thing for you. Money Matters, an Islamic perspective on finance. an exclusive course on money matters in Islam, presented by Brother Mansoor Danish. This course is unique. Why? Because it will enable you to understand the prohibited transactions in Islam, riba in Islam, the ruling of transactions affecting us in our daily lives. Examples: home loan, car loans, personal loans, credit card, insurance, interest from banks, etc. Permissible alternatives to prohibited transactions, requirements for a valid sale contract, and many more. To know more, be a part of this groundbreaking course and extract maximum benefit.
Assalamu alaikum, dear viewers. Welcome back from the break. And we'll now continue to look at some further deeds which the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, described as being the best of deeds. In a narration from Thawban, he quoted the Prophet ﷺ as saying, "Istaqimu wa lan tuhsu, wa'alamu anna min afdali a'malikum as-salah, wa la yuhafidhu ala al-wudu'i illa mu'min." Be upright, although you will never be able to be virtuous all the time. But know that the best of your deeds is prayer, and that only the true believer will guard his ablution, his wudu. This hadith is collected by Ibn Majah. It's an authentic hadith, as all of the other hadiths that we have narrated. So in this hadith, the statement of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he instructed us to be upright. Istaqimu, be upright in all of our affairs. Being upright meaning that we strive to do the right thing, what is pleasing to Allah in all aspects of our life. We should strive for it. However, reality is that we will not be perfect. We will not be virtuous all the time. There will be times when we're up and times when we're down. Therefore, the Prophet ﷺ recognized that and told us not to worry, because oftentimes, you know, we feel that when we have weakened, when we have done some things we shouldn't have done, you know, we start to lose hope. We start to feel that we are hypocrites or things like this, you know. Those who are sincere, they get that kind of a feeling. However, this is not the case. We strive to do our best, but know that we're going to falter at times. That's the reality. No one is perfect. The Sahaba, they came and they even complained to the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him. You know, when we're around you, we feel iman, we feel strong, we feel we want to do the right thing. But then when we go home and we play with our children, our wives, etc., you know, we lose that drive, that motivation, you know, we become more attached to the dunya. So what does this all mean? They wondered, they felt this was maybe some form of hypocrisy. He told them, no, there's time for this and there's time for that. That's the nature of life. No matter how hard we strive, we do have those times when our faith will not be at its peak. I will be concerned with other things which are maybe not as important. That's the way life is. So we don't seek to try to be so good that no wrong ever comes from us. Of course, we should try, but we should know that we will not achieve that. Perfection belongs only to Allah. And the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, told us very clearly, "Kullu bani Adam khata." Every descendant of Adam commits mistakes. Every last one of us. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. But the best of those who make the mistakes are those who turn back in repentance regularly. So whenever we commit our errors, we turn back to Allah in repentance. But we still keep striving as much as we can. Following that, the Prophet ﷺ went on to identify for us the best of our deeds. And he said, it is prayer. Of course, one could say, but the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, had earlier said, the best deeds are faith in Allah alone. But what was said here was deeds. This was a combination, a group of deeds. Now, the Prophet ﷺ is talking about single deed. The best single deed is salah. But for salah to be the best outward action, we must have also that best inward action, which is iman. So the two are related. Iman is the best deed of the heart. Salah is the best deed of the limbs. And we said, these two are in fact inseparable. So salah should be protected to the best of our ability. We should make sure we do not become lax, lazy when it comes to salah. Because the Prophet ﷺ informed us that the first thing we will be asked about on the Day of Judgment will be salah. That will be the first thing. And if we fail salah, then that's it. There is no second, okay, after salah, what about fasting? What about zakah? What about hajj? If we failed salah, this is not like the examinations of our world, where you might fail maths, but you pass science and you pass geography and the others. So your overall average is passed, so you pass. No. In the case of judgment, on the Day of Judgment, believers and disbelievers, the first thing they will be checked on is salah. If they fail salah, nothing else matters after that. So that's why salah is considered the best of deeds. If we get that right, then everything else follows. But of course, the salah we're talking about is proper salah. It is not just the physical external acts. Because a man came into the masjid on one occasion when the Prophet ﷺ was in a circle with his companions. He prayed and he came to sit down with the Prophet. And the Prophet ﷺ told him, go back and pray because you didn't pray. So the man went back and he made two more units of prayer, as we should do before sitting down in the mosque. And he came to sit down again and the Prophet ﷺ told him, go back and pray because you didn't pray. So the man went back and he prayed again. Then he came back to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Before he could sit down, the Prophet ﷺ said, go back and pray. The man said, I don't know any other prayer than this. O Messenger of Allah, tell me, what am I supposed to be doing? What should I do? So then the Prophet ﷺ told him how the prayer should be. Because he was praying, you know, a very fast prayer. Standing up after takbir, he's bowing, he's up, down. In some narrations, he described them like the chicken picking at the grain, corn, whatever. Just back and forth, prayer like that. It's not prayer. Yeah, you've done the movements. You've done them, you know, fast style. But that fast style, what is the value of it? What did you say in your prayer? What did you know of what you said in your prayer? Where was your mind? So this is the point. The prayer, what he's talking about as the best deed, is the proper prayer. And he took everything back to wudu. Because the prayer begins really with wudu. And that is why he said, only the true believer will guard his ablution. وَلَا يُحَافِظُ عَلَى الْوُضُوءِ إِلَّا مُؤْمِنٌ. Only the believer will guard wudu. What does that guarding wudu mean? It means that when a person washes themselves preparing for the prayer, they do so in a correct manner. Not just literally, okay, you've washed your hands in the correct order, hands, mouth, nose, face, or that it's done completely, that you make sure when you wash your hands, your arms, that you wash the complete arm, not just one side and you leave areas that you didn't wash, okay, that's also not correct. But it goes beyond that into the realm of the spiritual. So when the Prophet ﷺ talked about guarding wudu, he's not referring merely to the order, make sure you do it in the correct order, or that you wash the parts properly, you don't leave dry spots and, you know, splash water here, there, everywhere. But he's talking about the inner aspect of the wudu. What is that inner aspect? That the wudu itself purifies one from sin. He said that with every drop of water which falls from our body parts as we wash ourselves in preparation, sins drop off. If one is sincere, sins drop off with the drops of water that leave our bodies. And as we make wudu, washing our hands, we should reflect on the sins that our hands have done and seek forgiveness. Our mouth, we wash out our mouths. Think about the sins of our mouths, what we have said, the sinful things we have said, and we seek forgiveness from Allah from it. What our eyes have seen, what our ears have heard, what our feet have taken us to, all of this, where we're making wudu, in this way we are guarding the wudu. So wudu then becomes a great spiritual cleanser, which prepares us for the salah. And then we enter into prayer properly prepared, cleaned. And that's why we make the dua at the end of wudu. We say, Allahumma ja'alna min at-tawwabin wa ja'alna min al-mutatahirin. O Allah, make us of those who are constantly repentant, and make us amongst those who constantly purify themselves. So this is wudu. We have to guard that wudu. And only the true believer will guard wudu. And in doing so, they will do the right salah, the salah which is the greatest of deeds, which will earn them the greatest of rewards. So this was the recommendation of the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, for us to be upright and to seek to perfect as much as we can the greatest of deeds, the best of deeds, our prayer, our daily prayers. And keep in mind that we are able to do that by praying what the Prophet called a farewell prayer, a prayer in which we believe that this is the last prayer we have to do in our life. So if we pray in that way, as we would pray, knowing that it was the last prayer, how sincerely we would pray, we try to put that in each and every one of our prayers. With that, I'd like to thank you for being with us in this segment of our program on the best in Islam. And we hope to see you in the coming weeks, days, months, the rest of the year, in our program, The Best in Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.